To help provide for his army, Napoleon had vast storehouses close to the borders of Russia, filled with wheat and rice. He knew it would be impossible to provide fodder for the 150,000 horses of his army, and so, thinking ahead, he decided they would have to wait until June for the invasion, when the grasses of the Russian plains would be rich and green. At the last minute, he learned Russia had very few mills to grind grain into flour, so he added to his growing list the need to bring materials to build mills along the way. With the logistical problems addressed and his usual well-devised strategy in hand, Napoleon told his ministers that he foresaw complete victory within 3 weeks. In the past, these predictions of Napoleon's had been uncannily accurate. In June 1812, Napoleon's vast armada of men and supplies crossed into Russia. Napoleon always planned for the unexpected, but this time, unmanageable difficulties began to pile up almost immediately. Rain, the bad roads, the intense summer heat brought the army's movements to a crawl. Within days, more than 10,000 horses ate rank grass and died. Supplies were failing to reach the forward troops fast enough, and they had to resort to foraging. But the uncooperative Russian peasants along the march not only refused to sell their food at any price, but burned their hay rather than let the French have it. The two Russian armies in Lithuania retreated too fast to be caught. And as they went, they burned crops and destroyed all storehouses of food. Dysentery quickly spread through the French troops. Some 900 men died each day. In his effort to catch and destroy at least part of his elusive enemy, Napoleon was compelled to march even farther east. At points, he came tantalizingly close to the more northern of the two Russian armies, but his exhausted men and horses could not move fast enough to meet or encircle it, and it easily escaped his traps each time. June bled into July. Now it became clear that the Russians would be able to join their two armies at Smolensk, over 200 miles east of where Napoleon had intended to fight them, and a mere 280 miles from Moscow. Napoleon had to call a halt and rethink his plan. Thousands of French soldiers had succumbed to disease and hunger without a single battle being fought. The army was strung out along a 500-mile line, parts of which were constantly harassed by small troops of Cossacks on horseback, sowing terror with their bloodthirsty raids. Napoleon could not allow the chase to go on any longer. He would march his men to Smolensk and fight the decisive battle there. Smolensk was a holy city with great emotional significance to the Russian people. Surely the Russians would fight to defend it rather than let it be destroyed. He knew that if he could only meet the Russians in battle, he would win. And so the French moved on Smolensk, arriving there in mid-August, their 450,000-man attack force reduced to 150,000 and worn down by the intense heat. Finally, as Napoleon had predicted, the Russians made a stand here, but only briefly. After several days of fighting, they retreated yet again, leaving behind a burned and ruined city with nothing in it to feed on or plunder. Napoleon could not understand the Russian people, who seemed to him suicidal. They would destroy their country rather than surrender it.